Good morning, everyone. Before I get started this morning, I just want to mention that we have a special offering next week, and we do this four times a year. We receive a special offering for various things going on around the church, and next week is for our mortgage. And I know this is a passion for some of us. We want to get our mortgage paid off so that we can invest in more ministry things. And so next week will be the opportunity to do that. And all designated funds next week will go towards the mortgage. All undesignated funds will go towards the mortgage. Just want to make that clear. Okay. All right. What a beautiful day. Isn't this nice? Man, oh man. Okay. So, my first full-time job as a pastor, I was put in charge of basically all the ministries in the church, and it was a big church. And after doing it for a few years, I learned, as I've mentioned before, that there was kind of a cycle going on with church ministry. And the cycle went like this. Round about May or so, I hated checking my inbox because I knew what would be there. And from about May to the end of August, you would get, Pastor, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be stepping away or stepping back or moving away or whatever it is I'm doing. I'm no longer going to be volunteering. And so I just kind of got used to that. And the people who had been kind of thinking about it all year long, they were the first ones in May, man. They were like, woo, I'm in on this, boom. And those who were a little more non-confrontational wanted to leave it right to the end. And so even as soon as the schedule for that fall would come out, they'd go, oh, right. By the way, about that, you're going to have to redo your schedule because I won't be on it. And so, you know, after doing this for a few years, I thought, is this what the church is all about? Is it just about recruiting volunteers so that they can do their thing, get burned out, and quit? Is that what the church is all about? Is that my job as a pastor, to be out there creating messages to get people to volunteer and encouraging them to volunteer and patting them on the back for volunteering? Is that what the church is all about? Are we basically a really big girl guides organization? Is that what we are? I began to wonder. Now, I want you to know that if you have already resigned from a ministry, I'm not here to shame you. This is not about you. This is not directed at you. Okay? You can relax. I want you to know, especially if you are new to Nanaimo Alliance Church, I've got great news for you. This morning, I've got wonderful news for you. I'm not going to ask you to volunteer. I'm not going to ask you to volunteer for anything. And even if you've been here for a long, long time, I got good news for you, too. I'm not going to ask you to volunteer. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Before you start to heckle, wait till the end, okay? And by the way, if you have never served, I got no judgment for you. I'm not looking down my nose at you. That's not what this message is all about. This series is called Beyond Religion. And our mission is inviting people to follow Jesus, which means inviting people to do what Jesus did. And here's the thing. In looking at Jesus' life, Jesus never volunteered. Jesus never volunteered. You think about that? Now, wait a second. You're going, what do you mean he never volunteered? This is what I mean by volunteer. A volunteer is to donate your time for as long as you want. That's what a volunteer does. They donate their time until they no longer want to donate their time. That is a volunteer. And Jesus never did that. That was not what Jesus did. And Jesus, by the way, doesn't call us to volunteer. Now, you might think in this message that I'm really, you know, dissing volunteering. I'm not. Volunteering is good. And many of us volunteer for all kinds of things. That's wonderful and that's great. I'm not talking about bad versus good here. Volunteering is good. It's just not what Jesus called us to do. I have said that this series is called Beyond Religion. Religion, as we defined it earlier in this series, is a system of behavior created to prove our worth to God. And religion often invites volunteers. Because volunteers can come with all kinds of motivations to do what they do. Maybe they feel pressure to perform for God. They want to show their worth to God and to others. So they volunteer. Maybe they want to make sure that they pull their weight or do their time. Maybe it's more about guilt management than anything else. There's all kinds of motivators why people would serve. But it could be very much a part of religion, which is just a system of behavior created to prove our worth to God. So if we're not called to volunteer, and you're very confused by now, if we're not called to volunteer, and by the way, I've used that word many times myself, relax, and we use it around here, and we'll continue to use it, it's just not the ideal. It's not what Jesus is really calling us to do. So if we're not to volunteer, what does following Jesus look like? And Jesus tells this great little story. It's not really a story so much as kind of an illustration. And he talks about a shepherd. And after he's just tussled with the religious people of his day, he tells this illustration. And in this illustration is what is at the heart of every solid relationship you and I have in our lives. And so if you listen very carefully today, and you take to heart what I'm about to tell you, the relationships in your life could get so much better. He says this. He starts off with, I am the good shepherd. And you know, we read that in English. We don't kind of get what the emphasis in the original. The emphasis in the original, he was saying, I am the good shepherd. Emphasis on the good, as opposed to being a bad shepherd. And the rest of this illustration is going to be a comparison between being a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. You with me so far? Good. So I am the good shepherd, and everyone who's listening to him is going, okay, all right, he's the good shepherd, good. And he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Whoa.
What? I don't think WorkSafe BC would approve of this. You know, we don't want some farmer giving his life for the sheep. Fortunately, though, of course, Jesus is not talking about Farmer Joe's Lazy J Ranch in Cedar. He's talking about something much bigger than that. And he's saying, good shepherds embrace discomfort. They will sacrifice for the sheep. Now, the listeners are probably thinking, man, that is overkill. Like, come on. A shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, where is he going with this exactly? And so he continues. And he's going to compare good shepherd to bad shepherd. And he said, a hired hand, which is your bad shepherd, a bad shepherd will run when he sees a wolf coming. And this is a natural reaction to want to quit when things are tough. A good shepherd won't quit. A bad shepherd will quit when things get tough. I can't really do that. It's on Super Bowl Sunday. I have a pottery class. And maybe it's, you know, the wolf is people who criticize. And they'll tell you you're doing a bad job. And when you get this criticism, when those wolves come around, you say, that's it. I'm done. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He goes on, he says, he will abandon his sheep. Why? Why would a bad shepherd abandon the sheep? This is his job. He is getting paid, but he volunteered. He will abandon his sheep because they don't, what's the word? Belong to him. He doesn't own them. He isn't their shepherd. This makes a lot of sense. People resign when they have no ownership. They go, hey man, not my circus, not my monkeys. I can walk away. A good shepherd has ownership, and there is protection there. A good shepherd takes responsibility for the well-being. A good shepherd doesn't say, it's not my problem. A good shepherd wants the well-being of the sheep. So good shepherds will speak in terms of my family, my neighborhood, my church, my connect group. A bad shepherd will say their connect group, their church, their family. My wife and I, up until recently, were in the rental business. We didn't want to be, but in order to move to Nanaimo, we had to have our house rented in Slave Lake. And we had nice people as renters. Nothing against them. Nice people. But it was heartbreaking after 2 years to see what our house that we worked so hard on looked like after 2 years of neglect. The garden that we worked so hard on, the yard, the inside, everything. There's a big difference between those who own and those who don't. And I'm just making generalizations. You might be a very good renter. God bless you. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying there is usually a big difference between owners and those who don't own. I mean, who really cares about sheep that you don't own? I mean, if they fall off the cliff while you're binge-watching Netflix, who cares? Good shepherds take ownership and will not neglect or abandon the sheep. So, just to sum up, in case you're not paying attention, this is what we've learned so far. Bad shepherds will not sacrifice. They will run at the first inconvenience. They take no ownership. They won't protect because they are not responsible for the sheep. And then Jesus moves on to the biggest difference between good shepherds and bad shepherds. And this is where we get to the real heart of the issue today. The biggest difference between good shepherds and bad shepherds. And he says, The hired hand, the bad shepherd, runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really, what's the word? Care about the sheep. A bad shepherd will run away. He's in it for the money, and he doesn't care. He doesn't love the sheep. That's the difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. Now let's drill this down a little bit more. How are bad shepherds sometimes like volunteers? Sometimes, and I'm saying sometimes, volunteers act like the bad shepherd. Sometimes they're only in it for the personal gain. Yeah, volunteers don't get money, but maybe they get attention or good feelings, or they can show others how good they are, or maybe they're trying to gain God points. And so they act like bad shepherds. And when things can get uncomfortable, because they have no ownership, they say, I'm out of here. I quit. What is the hired hand, the bad shepherd, the bad volunteer, lacking? In one word, love. Love. Now, I want us to just put a pin in that for a second. Keep in mind, volunteering is about giving time. Following Jesus is about giving our hearts and caring. And I'm going to switch gears here for a second, and I'm going to talk about something that's a different concept, but then I'm going to put them together. And I'm hoping this will all make sense in the end. And I want to talk about freedom here for a second. Freedom is something that we sing about, we write stories about, we go to war over freedom. And freedom, as I've mentioned before, is often defined as doing whatever you want to do. That's freedom, right? To travel wherever you want to go, buy whatever you want to buy, say whatever you want to say, eat whatever you want to eat, live wherever you want to live, work wherever you want to work. There's only one problem with this kind of freedom. Only one. That kind of freedom cannot coexist with love. That kind of freedom cannot coexist with love. And here's the thing we're going to learn this morning, is that love costs freedom. Love costs freedom. Now, what I'm about to share with you, for those of you who've never been married, could freak you out just a little bit. For those of you who are married, this might clarify some things. But when it comes to freedom, remember that list I said, travel, to buy, to say, to eat, to live, to work. Those type of people who live in that kind of freedom, there's a word for those kind of people. It's narcissists. They live only for themselves. Who wants to be around someone who only thinks about themselves? Who only do what they want to do? Who take the first, biggest, and last piece of cheesecake for themselves? Who dictate where you're going to live? Who takes jobs that only benefits them and make you conform to their schedule? I'll tell you this, no friendship, no marriage, no family, no church can function in that kind of environment. That kind of freedom kills relationships. It repels people. Our natural tendency is to try to have both. We want to have loving intimacy and this freedom to do whatever we want at the same time. You know what a lot of friction in marriages is all about? It's just about that. It's the war between I want my freedom and I want my love. And guess what? Those two things do not go together at all. For the simple reason, love costs freedom. Which is why, and we sang about it here earlier today, we sang about freedom, but the Bible never describes freedom in terms of being able to do whatever you want. Freedom in the Bible is the ability to consistently do what is right. That is true freedom. The ability to consistently do what is right. That is true freedom. Now, you might be thinking, oh, Pastor, you have gone off the rails. You are talking about volunteers. You're talking about freedom. Like, you are nuts, man. I'm walking out of here. I am unvolunteering this sermon. When Jesus told this illustration about the Good Shepherd, there was somebody listening to him, teenager. Guy by the name of John. Later, much later in his life, after having followed Jesus for decades, he wrote a letter to the church, and he said something so profound, it still shakes me to my core. He said this, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us." Notice, Jesus' freedom was curtailed because of his love. But that's not all that he said. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. And the next sentence, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Notice the parallel. Give up life. This is the calling of a follower of Jesus. To not volunteer, but to sacrifice. Because love costs freedom. Even the freedom of living a long life. Now, I want to just caution right here. Because some of us in this room may be feeling incredible guilt. Guilt is not part of following Jesus. Telling you that. And some of us may be feeling guilty because we are not contributing the same amount as the person next to us or ahead of us. And here's the caution. There's this great little story about Jesus that I just love. And Jesus was sitting there one day watching people put in their offerings. If you've never read this story, this is such a great story. He's watching people put in their offerings, and he's watching all these rich people, and they're putting in out of their wealth, they're putting in great amounts. And then along comes this woman, and she drops in two pennies. And I can only imagine what the people around who were watching this would have thought. What a disgrace. How embarrassing. Doesn't she know we got to pay the priests? Doesn't she know the temple needs fixing? Doesn't she know there are poor people out there? She should have put in more than two pennies. How terrible. And then Jesus gave them a window into something they didn't know. This is a widow. And those two pennies was all she had to live on. And she put those in. And he said, she gave more. She sacrificed more than everybody else. And here's the principle that I learned from that story, and I hope we all learn from that story. You can't tell by looking at people how much they are sacrificing. I want to go further into this a little bit. And we know that followers of Jesus are called to sacrifice because of love and not to religiously volunteer. But here's the thing. We don't know by looking around the room what people are struggling with. And for people who are struggling, say, with depression, even showing up here on a Sunday morning just to say hello to you was a sacrifice. It was hard. Some of us in this room have very limited finances, very limited. There is no way I can tell or anyone in this room can tell whether that person is sacrificing and how much they give or not. Their $2 in the plate might cause more of a lifestyle change than the rich person who puts in $1,000. We just can't tell by looking at people. You can't tell what people are dealing with as far as their mental health or addictions or the marriage issues they have, or the children's issues they have. And so we can't look at one another and say, that person is sacrificing and that person is not. You just don't know. It's such a personal thing. It really is between you and God. I can't tell. All of us have to, if we are following Jesus and claim to follow Jesus, all of us have to ask ourselves, am I sacrificing in love? That's the question. We don't need to worry about the person next to us. We're not going to have to answer for them at the end of time. Are we sacrificing? Jesus said this in Luke 12. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. That is a good principle. Some of us in this room have been given much. You were given a very stable upbringing. You had both parents in your home. Neither of your parents were drunk or abused you or beat you. You have a credible advantage over a lot of people. Much more will be required of you. Some of us didn't have those things. Some of us didn't even have parents. We were just shipped from home to home to home. There's all kinds of factors involved in sacrifice. What Jesus is calling us to is sacrifice in love. That's why he said the greatest command, the big deal in the New Testament. He said, a new command I give you, love one another. Everything revolves around love in the church. And that love curtails our freedom to do whatever we want. The more love we have for people, the less freedom we have. The less freedom to do whatever we want. And that is why, remember going back, our definition of volunteer is to donate your time for as long as you want. That's not what Jesus called us to. We sacrifice in love, whether it's comfortable, whether it's convenient, it doesn't matter. That's the calling of a follower of Jesus, is to sacrifice in love, not to volunteer. So what can we do? What's the response? Number one, ask God for the grace of love. Oh my. Ask God for the grace of love. Jesus said a bad shepherd doesn't care. Doesn't care about the sheep. And I am willing to bet every person in this room has been guilty of not caring for the sheep in this room, including this cowboy. To love people, to love your church family, to even love your spouse, love your kids, love your neighbors, love your coworkers, all that, that is a supernatural thing because our natural tendency is to want our freedom, to do whatever we want. So for us to love the people of the Nanaimo Alliance Church, that is supernatural. That has to be an act of God. And I'm telling you, I'll just be up front, I pray regularly to love you more. And I hope you do the same. Ask God for the grace of love. We didn't deserve it. We can't earn it. We're not making some kind of bargain with God that, well, if I just give more money, you'll help me to love more. No, it's just God just, this is just a free thing God wants to give us. Ask God for the grace of love and then follow God's calling. Ask yourself, where can I be a good shepherd? Is it my church, my family, my neighborhood, my work? And here's what I can tell you. If you want to be a good shepherd, it won't always be pretty. You might not always get thank yous, but you do it anyway because you love. And a lot of parents can testify to that. You do what you do, not because you get thank yous, not because you get Mother's Day or Father's Day cards. I'm still waiting. I hope my kids don't listen to this. And you do it because you love them. Period. That's it. And we serve our church family because we love them. That's it. That's what we're called to sacrifice in love. Remember, a good shepherd doesn't run when things get rough. They are willing to sacrifice. They face adversity. They take ownership. They protect. They care. That's a good shepherd. That's what God is calling us to become, to give our lives the way he gave his life. In November of 1878, I'm not much of a royal watcher, but for those of you who are royal watchers, you might already know this story. Princess Alice, daughter of Queen Victoria, tragically lost her daughter Marie to diphtheria, and her other kids got infected with diphtheria. One of them was her son named Ernest. Now, she decided to not tell siblings about their dead sister, thinking that it would hurt them too much, that she wanted them to recover from diphtheria and all that sort of thing. But word got out, and Ernest found out that his sister had died. And he was so distraught. You can imagine, if you've ever lost a sibling, I haven't, but if you ever have, you can understand the pain that Ernest was feeling. And up to this point, Princess Alice had a strict no-touching policy with her kids because she didn't want to contract diphtheria. Simple, right? But Ernest was so distraught, so grieved in his heart, he said, "Mommy, Mommy, kiss me. Hug me, hold me. I need you." Well, what did she do? What would you do? She reached out, she kissed him, and held him. She contracted diphtheria and died. See, love costs freedom. You sacrifice for love. A bad shepherd will say, What can I keep? Can I keep my schedule? Can I keep my money? A good shepherd says, what can I give? A bad shepherd will say, what's in this for me? A good shepherd will say, what's in this for them? A bad shepherd will say, what's the least I can do? And a good shepherd will say, what's the most I can do? Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He could have stayed in Nazareth, built furniture for his whole life, avoided the authorities, kept his mouth shut, lived a good long life. Could have stayed in his hometown, done what he wanted, had that freedom. Jesus only had one problem. He loved people. He loved them too much. And love cost his freedom. We have said that our mission as a church is inviting people to follow Jesus. If we're going to invite people to follow Jesus, we are not inviting them to volunteer. We are inviting them to live a life of sacrifice in love. That is what following Jesus is all about. Here's the principle that I want us to consider this morning. Sacrifice is the normal standard of giving when there is love. That is normal. That is the normal standard of giving when there is love. Religion deals in guilt, manipulation, shame, judgmentalism. Following Jesus deals in love for people. And the more you love, the less freedom that you have. Because love costs freedom. Now, I can't tell by looking at you if you are sacrificing. I can't tell if you are a good shepherd, but here's one thing that I know. There's not a person in this room who has maxed out their capacity to love. Every single person in this room could love more. And when we love more, as we love more, we are going to see more and more sacrifice for each other. Less volunteering. More sacrifice for one another in our time, in our money. That's just the way it works. And we will find ourselves, as we love more, with less and less of the desire to just do what we want to do. Because love and that kind of freedom do not go hand in hand. Our calling is to follow Jesus. I'm going to get the music team to come on up at this point. Jesus gave up his freedom for one reason. He loved you. He went to the cross, gave up his freedom because he loved you. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness available for everyone because Jesus loved so much, he gave up his freedom to do whatever it is he wanted to do. And if you are here this morning and you have not started following Jesus, I invite you into something that you could never imagine. It's such intimate relationships with people. The more you sacrifice in love for them, the more intimate you become with them. This is the secret to marriage. This is the secret to families. This is the secret to churches. The more we love, the more we sacrifice, the tighter we become. It's not complicated, but it is following Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning that you loved us so much that you were willing to give up your freedom so that we could have true freedom. You sacrificed for us in love and have called us to do the same. God, I for one feel completely inadequate to do that. And so many in this room do, but we cry out for your grace. That this would not be a church of volunteers. that this would be a church of people willing to sacrifice because they love so deeply. God, help us to love one another like we have never loved one another before. To love the people in our Connect group, to love the people who are sitting next to us and in front of us, to love the people as we greet them and to love them in all the various ministries of this church. Lord, may we love. And may that love be evidenced by our willingness to lay aside our desire to do whatever we want. Oh, Holy Spirit, may the love you have for us pour into our hearts now. Expand our willingness, our ability to care deeply about the sheep around us. To be willing to sacrifice. To be willing to stick with them even when things are tough. To not be serving for our own benefit, but for their benefit. God, may the last question we ask would be, what's in this for me? Lord, may this be a new chapter for some of us. That we would realize all along what we've really been missing is love. We've been clinging too hard to our desire to do whatever we want. Lord, may we let that go this morning. Life is far too short for that kind of selfishness. Help us to love the way you love us, that we would lay down our lives for one another the way you, Lord Jesus, laid down your life for us. And we ask these things knowing that we can never do it on our own. We'll need you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of our Savior and our Master, our coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything this morning, there's going to be some people up here willing to pray for you. I'd invite you to come. Other than that, God bless you. Go enjoy this beautiful day.